This morning I would like to look at the subject of hell and then later on heaven. First of all, let's notice hell. Hell, Gehenna, is the Greek word. What is it? What is hell? Or is there even such a place? If you believe the inspired word of God, you will definitely believe that there is a hell, because it teaches such. Many people, even religious people, often want to take only the pleasant things from the Bible, such as love, joy, heaven, etc. But when it comes to other teachings in God's Word, such as punishment for disobedience, judgment, suffering, eternal loss of well-being, etc., they choose not to accept such teachings. Can we do this to God's Word? Just take what we want out of it and throw away the rest? As much as a subject like hell may be disagreeable to us, we must nevertheless study and learn of it, that we may escape its horrors. The word Gehenna comes from Gehinnom, meaning the valley of Hinnom or lamentation, the valley of the sons of Hinnom. It designates the place of eternal punishment of the wicked, generally in connection with the final judgment. Why this term chosen, though? Well, the valley itself is located south and east, or was, of Jerusalem, and was so called from the cries of the little children who were thrown into the fiery arms of Moloch, an idol that had the form of a bull. King Josiah abolished the idolatrous practice, and from then on the valley was used for all manner of refuse, even the bodies of dead animals and unburied criminals who had been executed. Constant fires were needed to consume the bodies. Thus we can easily see the descriptive terms of why Jesus used this word to describe this horrible place. We see terms like everlasting in Matthew 18:8, unquenchable in Mark 9:44, eternal in Jude 7. We see the term hell of fire in Matthew 5:22, and this is the lake of fire that we read about in Revelation 20:13-15 and 21:8. So let's look at those. Revelation chapter 20, reading verses 13 through 15, it says, "And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, even the lake of fire. And if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire." And then Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. It says, "But for the fearful," "and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." We see the term eternal punishment in passages such as Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. And then the eternal destruction from the presence of God, and I want us to turn and read that one in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. And there we read, "And to you that are afflicted rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven, with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might." And so we can see from these passages that our Creator tells us and warns us about this place. We also find other terms that are used, such as in Matthew chapter 22, and looking at verses 13 and 14 of Matthew chapter 22. And there it says, "The king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and cast him into the outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." Now, what this shows is separation from God, who is represented as the light. And while many of these terms we understand are symbolic, they surely show us the terribleness of hell, the pain and the suffering that will continue forever. So we see in Matthew chapter 10, for example, and looking at verse 28 of that chapter, where Jesus again said, "And do not be afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." How can we miss hell then? I don't believe any of us would want to be in this terrible place called hell. We're told in other passages that the Creator created hell for the devil and his angels. But he's also telling us that if we don't do the things he wants us to do, to live the way he would like us, want us to live, actually that's what he created us for, to serve him, to please him, and to live the way he wants us to live. So how do we miss hell? Well, it's simple, by making heaven. You know, there's only one of those two places that we read about in the Bible that's going to be in existence after the judgment day, because this world and this universe as we see it and know it will all be dissolved by fervent heat. In Matthew chapter 25, this is pointed out very clearly, and looking at verse 46, it says, "And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." And so we see that there's going to be one or two places we're going to end up after we live this life upon this earth. Either hell, which is eternal punishment, or heaven, which is eternal life. Pretty easy to understand that. Hard to accept it because we don't want to believe that we're going to have to give a reckoning for how we've lived on this earth. That means we can't do whatever we want and just whatever pleases us we can do. We have to be answerable to a higher power, which is, of course, our Creator. Heaven is where God resides, and there's only one way to get to it. So let's look at a few passages that deal with that thought. Let's go, first of all, to John chapter 14, and let's look at verse 6, where as Jesus is speaking and teaching the truth while he was upon this earth, he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by or through me." Now that's pretty plain. But you know, it involves more than just faith only, as many people are being led to believe today. They think, well, I believe in Jesus, I'm going to heaven. Let's go on and read some more verses in the context here. Go down to verse 15. Where Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Notice it says commandments, not commandment just to believe and you're okay and it doesn't matter what else you do. Faith only is not found in the Bible. We have to keep his commandments. If we say we love him, to love him, we have to keep his commandments. Look at verse 23 and 24 of the same chapter. And Jesus answered and said, "If a man love me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." And so we understand we must do the commandments that Jesus has brought to us through the New Testament. We must follow these teachings and apply them to our lives. If a person truly believes Jesus, you know what? He will do what Jesus tells him to do. What about you, dear listener? Let me list some things that Jesus tells us to do in order to actually become Christians, to even be saved in the sense of having our sins washed away. First of all, he tells us that we must believe. And if we don't believe the teachings that he's given us, the New Testament for us today, then we have no hope of being in this place called heaven in the after a while. In John 8 and verse 24, Jesus said unto, he said, "I say it therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins, for except you believe that I am he, That is the Messiah. You shall die in your sins. But now, today we have a lot of teachings in the religious area that teaches that that's it right there. It just stops there. But that's not true. Here's something else that you and I must do. Let's go to Luke 13 and let's look at verse 3. And then we'll look at another one in Acts. But first of all, let's notice Luke 13 and verse 3, where Jesus says there, of Luke 13, he says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise or in like manner perish. And then he presents that again after he uses some examples in speaking to God's people at that time that Jesus was on the earth, the Jews. Again, he emphasizes this thought in verse 5. I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So repentance is something different and than belief. Go with me to Acts next, 17th chapter of Acts and verse 30. I'd like to look at that first. It's dealing with this subject. It says, therefore, the times of ignorance God therefore overlooked, but now he commandeth men that they should all everywhere repent, inasmuch as he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. And of course, that's speaking of Jesus Christ. So we find that repentance is something that we must do. And that's not belief. That's not faith only. That's another act. Well, let's go to another one. Go to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32 in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 10. And looking at verse 32, and here Jesus makes this statement in Matthew 10:32, everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. And so confession is something different than repentance or faith, belief. Let's go to Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. It's mentioned there also. Now here we find that Jesus is talking about two of the things that he wants us to do. And he says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So here we see the two ingredients of faith, and we see confession. But that's not all that we must do in order to become Christians, in order to be saved. We must be baptized. Baptism is mentioned in many places in the New Testament. And one of the places that people overlook is the new birth that he talks about with Nicodemus in John 3 and verse 5. I have actually read some translations that change this around and take this term completely out of the verse. But if you have a authentic translation, the King James, the American Standard, New King James, New American Standard, ESV and others, that it will read as it should. And if you'll look at verse 5, it says, Jesus said there in John 3, I need to get to the right verse here. In verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So here we see that there's two things that are involved in this new birth that we hear so much about today, but we don't hear about the two acts that are involved, and that's being born one birth, but it consists of two things, water and the Spirit. This is baptism. So when you look at other passages, such as Mark 16 and 16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. We see that baptism is important and equal to believing there in that verse. Then you go to Acts 2 and verse 38 is the other example we'll use this morning, where Peter told those that believed on Jesus, and they understood that they believed it. They said, sirs, what must we do? In Acts chapter 2 and verse 36 and 37 and then 38, Peter told them, and the rest of the apostles told these believers, that they must repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for or unto the remission of your sins. And so we find there are many other passages, but I don't have the time to go into those today. We'll deal with those later, that show us that baptism is where God has selected for us to be translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love, where our sins are washed away. But that's not the end of being faithful to God in order to go to heaven. We have to remain faithful. When the inspired writer wrote the words of Jesus concerning the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, he says to them, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Another passage, for example, is Matthew 10 and verse 22. And there are many other passages, but there, remember, it says, "And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." So what is remaining faithful? What does it involve? Well, it involves following the divine teachings and the epistles. It involves applying God's word to our lives. We must be involved in assembling together and taking the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day, giving of our means, praying and singing and studying God's word together. We have to be involved in putting off the old man of sin, turning away from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, resisting temptation. And all the epistles are exhortations for us to do these things so that we can be faithful unto death. So, in closing this segment, I want to ask you the question, dear listener, are you doing the will of God? Do you really love Jesus? I mean, it's easy to say, "I love Jesus." But Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." You are listening to Bible Talk on KFEQ 680 AM, which is presented by the County Line Church of Christ, meeting at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads, located just northwest of the new shopping area on the North Bell Highway. We invite you to worship with us Sunday mornings, 9:30 AM for Bible study, 10:20 for morning worship, 4 PM in the afternoon, and also Wednesday evenings at 7 PM for Bible study. If you would like to receive a Bible correspondence course through the mail, or would like to have a home Bible study on these subjects or any Bible subjects, please leave your name and phone number at our number, which is 816-279-4737, and we will be happy to return your call and set anything up you would like concerning study of God's Word. The rest of our time this morning, I would like to look at a few passages concerning heaven, home of the soul. Do you have anything to look forward to after you die, dear listener? You know, many believe there's nothing after death. I'm here to tell you that there is something to seek after, something beyond death, and that is the eternal home of all righteous souls. It's this place called heaven, this place where the Creator of all the universe abides, the place where Jesus now reigns at the right hand of the Father. Heaven is used in the New Testament to cover what we look up into the sky and we see the blue, the expanse. That's called the first heaven. Then beyond that is the universe, the aerial heavens, the sidereal, the starry heavens. Then we have this region above the sidereal heavens, the seat of an order of things eternal and perfect, where God dwells, the other heavenly beings. This is the usage that we're dealing with this morning. Heaven's a real place. It's not just a condition of the soul, as many believe. It's a real place. Jesus said, when he was upon this earth, in John chapter 14, and looking at verses 1 through 3, he says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many abiding places, and if it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." This is the abiding place of God, dear listener. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 22 of that chapter, I wanted to read a verse there, chapter 3 of 1 Peter and verse 22. It says there, speaking of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven, angels and authorities and powers being subject unto him. Also in Revelation chapter 22, let's look at a verse there, Revelation chapter 22, and looking at verse 14, it says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, or wash their robes, that they may have the right to come to the tree of life, and may enter in by the gates into the city." And so this is showing us that if we do the commandments, if we wash our robes, if we're faithful to our Creator, following His will in the New Testament, then we will have right to the tree of life. That's what He says. And so those of us that believe in the Bible, then that we believe that with all of our heart. This heaven cannot be seen with mortal eyes, though. It must be seen through the eye of faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And the faith that we're talking about here is the faith. That's the system of teaching that we have from God, the gospel. It's the doctrine of Christ. It's the New Testament, the law of Christ, the New Testament that we have. Like it's used in Jude 3, "Contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints." That means one time for all time. And a great company in Acts chapter 6, a great company of the priests became obedient to the faith. Well, we go on very quickly. Heaven is a place of happiness and rest. In Revelation 21 and verse 4, it says, "And there he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain any more. The first things are passed away." In other words, just think about it. No cemeteries, no hospitals, no more funerals, no more goodbyes, no more pale cheeks. Isn't that what we all want, dear listener? Do we not instinctively long for a happy place where good things never cease? That's what heaven is. Heaven is a place of rest. Here on this earth, we're to be working throughout our lives, not only in the physical realm, but moreover in the spiritual realm, fighting against the forces of evil, to do God's will. In John chapter 9 and looking at verse 4 of that book, John chapter 9 and verse 4, it says, Jesus says there, "We must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." We only have one shot at living the way our Creator wants us to live, and that's why we're here upon this earth. We become tired at times, I know, but we dare not faint. What happens if we faint, if we're not diligent to try to do God's will and put Him first? It says in Galatians 6 and verse 9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So we cannot faint. We must do God's will. We can't shrink back, as we read about in Hebrews 10, 32 through 39. We have to do the will of God and put Him first. But you know, heaven is far worth turning away from the temptations of this life and seeking to live the way our Creator would want us to live. In Romans chapter 8, and let's look at 17 and 18 of Romans chapter 8. And there it says, "If we're children, we're heirs, and if we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified with Him." That's true, dear listener. We have to suffer, and we will suffer if we stand for the truth. It says, "All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." One other point I want to make before we close is that heaven can be missed. Not everyone's going to go to heaven. In fact, unfortunately, according to God's inspired word, only a few are going to go to heaven. In Matthew chapter 7, and you're familiar with this passage, I'm sure, in verses 13 and 14 of Matthew 7, it says, "Enter ye in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many are they that enter in thereby. For narrow is the gate, and straitened the way that leadeth unto life, and few are they that find it." What are some of the things that will cause us to miss heaven? Well, first of all, just plain old laziness. We don't read the Bible, and if we hear the Bible, we read it, then we don't do anything about it. We don't take heed. Someday I'll obey the Lord. People say, you know, I'm going to do what's right someday. You know, but they put it off till death comes upon them, and then it's too late, dear listener. It's too late then. We have to act now. In 1 Peter chapter 4, and as we turn back to that book, 1 Peter chapter 4, let's look at verses 17 and 18, where there we read, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begin first at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear?" We need to wake up and realize what these passages, what God's trying to tell us. If we procrastinate, if we put off, then we're not going to be able to be with God in heaven. And the terrible truth of the matter is, we're going to end up in that terrible place called hell. And I know none of us want to end up there. Another reason people will miss heaven is because of morality. You know, people say, well, I'm as good or better than anyone else that goes to church. I don't have to go to church. You know, I'm not a murderer. I'm not an adulterer or this or that or the other. But you know, dear listener, morality alone is not going to save anyone. We're not going to be saved by how good we are, but we're going to be saved by doing what God tells us to do. And so in Romans 6, verses 17 and 18, there it says, "Thanks be to God, that whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching or doctrine whereunto you were delivered. And being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness." The last reason that we can miss heaven is because we might follow vain religion. And so we read passages like Matthew chapter 15, and we need to heed the thoughts here. Look at verses 8 and 9 of Matthew 15. "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts or the commandments of men." And one other passage before we close in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven." And then Jesus goes on to talk about the judgment day, and he says, "Many is going to say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by your name, and by your name cast out demons, and by your name do many mighty works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, or ye workers of lawlessness." Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Are you preparing, dear listener? Am I preparing? I hope these words from the scriptures of our Creator encourages you to seek to do His will. Thanks again for tuning in to Bible Talk, presented by the County Line Church of Christ. We meet at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads, St. Joe, Missouri, just north of the new shopping area in the North Belt Highway. And we would invite you to worship with us. Again, we worship Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. for Bible study, and then 10:20 a.m. for morning worship, and then 4 p.m. for afternoon worship. And then we also meet Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. Again, if you would like to have a Bible correspondence course or a home Bible study, leave us a message at 816-279-4737, and we'll be happy to return your call and set up whatever you would like in seeking the truth, seeking to be true worshipers. Would encourage all of you to turn to John 4, 23 and 24, and read that passage very carefully, that God's only going to accept true worshipers. So it's our responsibility to seek to become true worshipers, and that means that we must worship God His way. He says, in spirit and in truth. We have to have a thus saith the Lord for everything that we do religiously. That's what He teaches. 1 Peter 4:11, we must speak as the oracles of God. And there are other passages that we'll try to bring to your attention in the future. God bless you as you seek for the truth above all else. Thank you and have a nice day.